Well, good morning, everyone. Good to have each and every one here this morning. Good to see so many here this morning. And what we are going to do in this session, and in this first part, is we're going to work on memorizing verses. And the first verse of this week is a hard one. Okay, I just want you to know it's going to get easier as we go on. But we felt that this was a good verse. Look how long it is. If you've been here in the past, right, it's much shorter. And it's going to get shorter tomorrow. But this is a long verse because it's a very important verse. And it fits very closely to what we're going to learn this morning. So it's from the story or the account of Elijah. And Elijah with the 400 prophets of Baal. And Elijah comes and calls the people, and he says to these people, how long will you waver between truth and what is wrong? That was his first question. And later on he says, if the Lord is God, he says, follow him. And all the people saw, when they saw what God had done, they said, all the people said, the Lord is God, he is God. So this is the verse for today. Do you think you can learn this verse? This is a little bit of a long verse, but I think you're able to learn it. So the way we do it is we say it together. We say it loudly, and when we repeat it over and over again, you guys will learn the verse. And what we do then is we invite people to come up and pop a balloon. We say it again, pop another one, another one, another one, and then pretty soon all the balloons are popped. And we're going to see if you know the verse. And this goes for the adults, too. We want the adults to participate. We want the young people to participate. And we look forward to a wonderful learning of this verse. So what we're going to do is we're going to say this part last. Even though this is here, we're going to say it at the end. Okay? Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions if the Lord is God, follow him. Now, when all the people saw what God had done, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord is God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. So let's see if we can remember that. So let's say together, I'm going to say it again, and let's have everyone say it as loud as we can. Not too loud, not shouting it, but saying it clearly and loudly. Elijah came, I don't hear anybody. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long shall you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. Now, when all the people saw it,
they fell
on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Okay, that was pretty good. That's pretty good. But I think we could say it a little more emphasis. And you say it a little louder, a little bit more with conviction. So let's try it a little. Let's try it again. Elijah came. Let's say it again. Elijah came to all the people and said, how long shall you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. Now, when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Okay. Now we're going to take a volunteer from this row. Any one of you young ladies would like to come up and pop one of these balloons. And by the way, I forgot to say, though, at the very end, we want to say the reference of the verse, 1 Kings 18, 21 and 39. Any one of these young ladies want to come up and pop the balloon? You don't want to do it? Do you want to do it? She's saying no, too. She's following her two friends. Okay, next row. Anyone here in this next row of boys and one girl? Do we want to pop the balloon? Anyone want to pop the balloon? There's no volunteers in that row.
No,
Well, you can't volunteer.
Any volunteers? John, any volunteers? Lucas?
Yeah, me and Lucas.
John, do you want to do it? You want to show them how to do it? Okay. John says he'll take the lead, and he will, he'll take the lead. Go ahead, John. Okay, good, 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 good. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay, now let's say it again. Elijah came. Let's everybody say it together. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long shall you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him." Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said,
"The Lord,
he is God. The Lord, he is God." Okay, let's go to the row 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That little row there. Anybody there want to do a balloon? Or over, let's see over here. Anybody over here? Anybody here want to pop a balloon?
Elise. There we go, Elise. Good for you. You're brave.
Okay. Very good. All okay, right. Thank you. Okay, let's say it again. Elijah came to all the people. You have to say it with me. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long shall you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him." Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Anybody here on this side want to pop a balloon? You have some scattered around the back in different places. Anyone else want to just put your hand up? Anyone over here? You know, not many volunteers.
Do you have a volunteer?
Who's a volunteer?
Okay.
Okay, come on up. Very good. Come on up and pop one of the balloons. Thank you. You can pop that one too.
Good job.
Okay.
Thank you.
Very good. Okay, let's say it all together again. And Elijah said to all the people,
and
I'm sorry, let's start again. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long shall you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him." Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Okay. Back to this row here.
We need somebody tall.
Oh, somebody tall. Who's tall? We need somebody a little taller to reach the top balloons.
Derek's going to do it.
What do you guys?
Okay. We need a tall volunteer. No, he's a tall volunteer.
Derek.
We need from one of the top. Up here. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So you think you know this verse right now? I see some of you saying it like you know the verse. Okay. Let's start again. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long shall you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him." And when they saw it, they fell on their faces and they worshiped him and said, "The Lord is God, follow him. If the Lord is God." If the Lord is God. Is that right?
Okay, yeah. The Lord, he is God.
The Lord, he is God.
Yeah.
And then we want to say 1 Kings 18, 21 and 39. Okay. Very, very good. Let's get another volunteer. How about anyone from this side? Anyone else want to try it? No. How about someone from this side? Anybody want to try it? No real volunteers today. Pretty soon I'm going to have to do it myself. This is a hand up here? Okay. You can pop two balloons. Lucas. Okay. Okay. Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him." And they, all the people saw it, fell on their faces and said, "Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." 1 Kings 18, 21 and 39. Very, very good. Okay. One more volunteer, and they're going to have to pop. Oh, I see a hand up in the back row there. I see a hand up, a young lady. I think she can pop all the balloons. Come on up. Can you reach the top? I think you can.
Eliana. Okay, good. That's a pretty name. Good, let's do that.
And one more. Okay, very good. Now let's see if we can say the verse. Can we say all those words? That was a long verse. So let's see if we can say all the words here. And Elijah, you guys have to do it. Yeah, I've got to hear you guys. Let's start again. Let's say it out loud. Let's say it very clearly. Ready?
Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him."
And they, all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Pretty good, Harold. They did pretty good.
Not easy.
Not easy. That's a long one. Now, can anybody recite it? Stand up and recite it. Okay. That is a long verse. Okay, so at this time,
4 through 7.
4 through 7, go to Miss Faith up to a room near the top.
You're 4 years upstairs. Old, 5, 6, or 7 years old. Come with me.
Now, how many have Bibles with them? I think some of you have Bibles. Not Bibles in the pews, but actual Bibles that you brought with them. That's good. That's very good. So, we are going to think about this theme up there. Which is the real God? And we're gonna learn about the story of Elijah. Elijah and the prophets of Baal. We're going to think about who is the real God. You know, there are... See if this thing works. I guess the pictures here are some false gods. Now, I have a picture over there of a god with an elephant head to it. Now, that's probably the third most important god in the Hindu religion. It's called Ganesha. And Ganesha is the protector, and he is the one that helps them through obstacles, and he gives wisdom. He is a son of Shiva. Is that a true god? Is that a real god? Let me tell you a little bit about Ganesha. I looked it up last night. Ganesha's mother was taking a bath, and she wanted someone to protect her. So she created this son, Ganesha. And Shiva came home from being away while she was taking the bath, and he saw this person in their house. And he didn't like this person. So he cut his head off. Cut the head off. But the mother kind of liked Ganesha. So she put an elephant head on him. Does that sound like a real god? That's Ganesha. There's some other gods up here. What about this one in the corner? With the soccer ball. You know, there are some people that really, really, really love soccer. They will travel all over the world. They will spend, when it's World Cup time, they will spend a lot of time and a lot of money following soccer. What about money? Is money a god to people? Canadian money? American money? Money. People do a lot of things for money, don't they? Do a lot of things for money. And a big house? Some people will work and work and work and work and work and for a big house. What about the far corner there? Fame, Hollywood, to be famous. It's a god for a lot of people. Look what happened to her. What happened here? Here's Roy. Did I do that? And my technician, my visual technician, fix that.
Did you share?
I did share.
We'll do it again.
Okay. So we do a lot of things for to be famous in Hollywood. So these are false gods. There's another god. This is the god of you and I. One time I heard someone speaking about false gods. At the end, he said, he pulled out a mirror. And he said, look at this mirror. This is the biggest false god. Some people love themselves. Some people worship themselves. But I want to think about another false god. And I'm going to ask you a question. This, I think, is a false god from the Middle East. I don't know its name. But I want you to look at it. It has eyes. Can it see? Can it see? No. It's just made of stone, I think. Can't see. Has a mouth. Can it speak? No, I don't think it can speak. It's got arms. But can it help you? I don't think it can. It has legs, I think. But it can't move. An idol, you know, people in that day, they worship with it. They would worship this being, this person. They would make it and they would worship it. I want to tell you a story. There was a man who lived in South Africa, the country of South Africa. And he had a number of idols on a shelf, and one of them fell down. It's a true story. His name was Nabari. Fell down, and so it was made of wood. And so he decided to make another wood idol. But when he was making it, he said to himself, I'm making this idol. I'm making his head and his arms and his body. If I'm making this idol, then I'm greater than the idol. I'm forming the idol. I'm the creator of the idol. And if I'm creating the idol, I'm creating this thing to worship, then someone must have created me. I exist. There must be a creator. And he thought to himself, the creator is in heaven. And so Nabari would go to the edge of the village. He would climb up a tree as high as he could go up, and he would cry out to heaven, to the God who created him. So one day, One day missionaries came. Missionaries came to this village and began to talk about a God in heaven. And they all said, you need to go and talk to Dubari. They went to the edge of the village, and there he was in the tree. And they said, we want to tell you about the God who created you. And they told Dubari about the God who created them. And he began to come to faith in the one true God, to believe the one true God, and follow the one true God the rest of his life. That's not a true God. There is a true God. So we want to think about this story. It's in, if you have a Bible, it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. This is Elijah. And Elijah is one of the great prophets at that time. There are many false prophets, and there are many people that worship false gods. He was one of the prophets that preached about the true God. There were others, but he was the main one because he was bold. He was fearless, wasn't afraid what would happen to him. And so he began to preach about the one true God. And he began to preach about not following the gods and the idols of the false prophets. And so he would go and he would preach. At one point, he comes to where the 400 prophets of Baal are. These are Jewish people who should be worshiping God, but they're worshiping idols. And they're offering sacrifices to the idols. Now, the prophet Baal was worshipped by a lot of people. And he had supposedly one power, one ability. He was the prophet of storms, lightning, thunder, rain, wind. They thought he had power over that. And so they began to worship him. And they began to cry out to God, and they would worship him. They would offer sacrifices, and they would pray that Baal would give them rain, and Baal would do this, and Baal would do that. And there were 400 of these prophets that would do this kind of thing. And they were leading Israel to worship, not to worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but to worship Baal, worship a false god. What would you do? Would you worship a god of stone, a god who could not speak, a god who could not help, a god who had no real power, a god who you created the idol? Would you do that? They did that in that day. They knew better. They knew what the truth said. They knew what the Bible said. But nevertheless, they followed this idol. You know why they followed the idol? The reason they followed the idol was because other people, many other people began to follow it. You know, when your friends wear a certain kind of clothing, when something becomes popular, very soon you begin to follow that. When something becomes popular, many times people who know better follow that thing. Would you follow that? If it was popular, would you turn your back on the one true God, or would you follow something that is an idol? That you know is not true. You know the Bible is true and right, but would you follow something that you knew was wrong? That's what they did. That's what these prophets of Baal did. They followed something because it was popular, but they knew it wasn't true. I think they knew it wasn't true. So Elijah comes, and he says to the prophets of Baal, he said, what you're worshiping is wrong, and you're leading all of the Lord's people to worship something that is wrong. And he says, if the Lord is God, you need to worship him. So he said, let's have a contest. A contest on Mount Carmel. Who knows what the contest was about? You know anything about the contest? What did they do? It says in this chapter that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Elijah, was a God who answers with fire from heaven. So he said, here's a contest. He said, we're going to build two altars, and we're going to take two bullocks, two full-grown calves, cows, and put them on one on each altar. And he said, you are going to ask your God. You're going to pray to your God that he would send lightning down to burn up that sacrifice on that altar. And then I will ask God, the true God, to send fire down from heaven and burn up my sacrifice. So what do you think happened? They said, yes, we'll take that challenge. Yes, we'll do it. Our God will do it. Your God can't do it. Our God will do it. The true God will be able to do that. So they began to do it. The prophets of Baal began to cry out to their God. They build the altar. They put the sacrifice on the altar, and they began to cry out to their God. They cry to heaven, Baal, 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 send fire down from heaven. But the heavens were silent. Now, notice in this picture, can you see their arms? What do you see in their arms? What do you see? Anybody see? There's lacerations, there's cuts. They begin to take knives and cut their arms and cut themselves and cry out to Baal, that he was sent fire down from heaven. He was the God of lightning. He was the God of storms. He was the God of heaven. Certainly he should be able to send down fire from heaven. And they call out. Elijah is nearby, and he sees that nothing has happened. Baal is silent. And so Elijah says, has your God, is he asleep? Has he gone away on vacation? Has he gone away somewhere else? Where is your God? Is your God the true God? If your God was the true God, and you say he has his power, then why doesn't he answer? Then Elijah does something. He says, okay, I'm going to pray to my God. But first, he said, we're going to take 6 barrels of water, and we're going to pour it all around that sacrifice. You can't see from this picture, but underneath that sacrifice, there were these troughs. There were these areas that collected the water. The sacrifice was drenched in water. Now, how could God send down fire and burn up that sacrifice when it's drenched with water? Well, they do it. They pour barrels and barrels of water on the sacrifice. Now, just a little. This is a picture. Who knows what this is a picture of? This is where I live. I live in this state, in the United States. It's called Florida. It's called Florida because it has a lot of flowers, and it's very hot, and it rains a lot. But it's, I don't know if you can see it right here, it's the lightning capital of the United States. They say every day there's 40,000 lightning strikes in the summertime in Florida. Now see where it has that red, big red area. There's a small red area, and there's a big red area. Let's see if my little... That red area that's bigger, that's where I live. That's my home. It's the lightning capital of the world, somewhere from Tampa to Orlando. You get a lot of lightning strikes here? No, probably, maybe you do. I was sitting at a man's house, another Christian's house, having lunch. A lightning strike, could hear it, large crack in the air. And I looked in the backyard, this lightning struck his tree and the tree burst into flames. It snapped in half and burst into flames. They had to call the fire department to put out the fire. Just about 1,500 feet from where I was sitting. Now, look at this picture. Can you see it? Lightning strike. Someone took this, I understand. Sitting in their car with their cell phone, they heard a lightning strike. They quickly just took a picture. And they caught this picture on their cell phone. Now, do you know where this was taken? So I live in a town called Land O'Lakes because it has 20 lakes in our town. So this is right on the border of my town. This is in a place called Lutz, right on the border. Lightning came out of heaven. You see the lightning. It struck this, it's actually a palm tree, hit this palm tree and it burst in flames. God has power, lightning, tremendous power. Now we're going to see that God did something very similar. Now this is just a storm that took place. But now, as we go back to our account, Elijah is going to pray. He's going to pray to the true God. He's going to pray to the God of heaven. He's going to pray to the God of the Bible. He's going to pray to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible, the God of the Bible is the true God. All the information we have in the Bible is true. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction. The Bible is true. And he prays, there's Elijah, he prays to the God of heaven to send down fire from heaven and burn up the sacrifice, even though there's water all around that sacrifice, to burn it up and to show the people that he is the true God. You know, there are many religions today. I don't know how many religions we have today. There are many religions today. But this is the true God. He's the only true God. And here he sends fire from heaven and he burns up that sacrifice. And when he burns up the sacrifice, what do they say? When they saw it, they said, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." Now, here's the memory verse we had today. Elijah said to all the people, "How long shall you waver between two opinions?" I'm going to ask you that. Are you a Christian today? Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ today? And do you walk with him? Are you following him today? It's a very, very important question. In my life, I was raised, probably like you were, going to church. I probably went to church more than you go to church. I don't think anybody went to church more often than I did. I went a lot. Special meetings, all kinds of times. But you know what I remember? I remember going in and out of a door like that and never making a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. I knew what was true, but I want to follow my friends. I knew what was true, but I didn't want to follow that right then. I knew it was right. I was wavering. It says, "How long shall you waver between two opinions?" I knew what was true, but I wanted to go the other direction. I want to ask you, do you know what's true? Do you know what's true, but you say, "I'm going to turn my back on it"? Go the other direction. I hope that's not true of you today. I hope each one of you know what's true, know what the Bible says about salvation and following him, and taking a stand and doing it. Doing it. I didn't do it when I was in high school. I didn't do it when I was in junior high school. I didn't do it when I was in high school. I didn't do it when I first started college. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was in my last year of college. Now, I was raised, my life, my parents taught me scriptures. We had a Bible study in her home every Thursday night. Whether Thursday night fell on, I think fell on Christmas or whatever holiday it was, we still had that Bible study.
Amen.
We were on vacation. Remember going on vacation to Yellowstone National Park in a camper. We had the Bible study on Thursday night in that camper.
Amen.
Nothing could stop it. That's how I was raised. When we went on vacations, we brought hymn books and Bibles with us. Do you do that when you go on vacation? That's what we did. That's how I was raised. But I turned my back on it. Went another direction. Until one day, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I trust that each one of you is the most important decision. You may not think so today. I hope you do. It's the most important decision you can make in your life. Most important decision you can make in your life. You know, I have a sister. She died at 54 years old. You know, you don't know when you're going to die. I know people who've died young. I know people who've died in high school. I have a neighbor who died in high school. You don't know how long you're going to live. It's the most important decision you can make. Because he determines whether you go to heaven or whether you don't go to heaven. I want to share the ABCs of the gospel with you. We're going to stop about 5 minutes to 11. But I want to share with you, if you've never become a Christian, if you've never really become a Christian, the first ABCs is admit that you are a sinner. Admit that you're a sinner. Admit that you've done wrong. Some people just never admit that. They know it, but they have to come to God and stand before him and say, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I know that I have. You've shown it to me. I've seen it in the Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin. You know, there's wages for sin. Someone has to pay for sin. Either you're going to pay for it, or the Lord Jesus Christ pays for it. You acknowledge that you are a sinner. It's the first thing. It took me a long time to get before God and acknowledge that. Have you acknowledged that? Have you said, Lord, I am a sinner. I'm on my way to hell. I'm on my way to a lost eternity. And I want you to save me. The next part is B. A is admit that you're a sinner. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for your sins. He paid for your sins. He's the only solution. He's the only way to salvation. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What he did on the cross is your only way to heaven. There's no other way. There's no other religion. There's no other way than following and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't believe half on him and half on ourselves. We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross of Calvary, he died for your sins. And then see, confess. You know, there's a stand. There's something we have to do. There's an act of faith that we have to bring before the Lord. It says in the Bible, I am the door of salvation. By me, if any man enter in, he will be saved. You know, there's a step that you have to take for salvation. There's a step that I had to take. A step of faith. You say, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to take my sins away. I want you to be my Savior. So our time is about finished. I want to ask you, have you ever taken those steps? Acknowledge you're a sinner. Believe that Christ paid the penalty for your sins. And then taking that step of faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you have. And I hope if you haven't, this week, if you keep on coming, that you will come to that place in your life where you say, Lord, I want you to be my Savior. If you have a friend, if you have a friend that doesn't know the Lord Jesus, bring them tomorrow. Bring them throughout the week. If you have a friend, bring them tomorrow. I want to see this whole room filled with young people and others, older people, who want to hear about the Word of God, or about the Bible. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you especially. He is the true God. He's the God that answers with fire from heaven. He's the God that Elijah is talking about. He, the Lord, he is God. And if the Lord, he is God, we should follow him. So, Father, we pray this morning that if there are some here that are not following the Lord, don't know the Lord as their Savior, whether you're young or old, we pray today they would make that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So, Father, we pray this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So thank you, David. And we're just going to check in with Trevor now. Roy, is Trevor with us?
I'm not sure if his name is not there.
His name's not there. That's right. You sent him a reminder, and we're delighted. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. The children are already coming down because we're going to be going out for a snack in a minute or two. When we go for a snack, we're going to go out this door. We're going to go out to the back. The snack will be on the back table. We'll go back there, and we'll enjoy it. After that, we will be coming in. The youngest children will be going to the room downstairs, which is on this east side. And then the next group will be going downstairs to the main room on the north side. And the older ones will be going to the room on the north side. And those of us who are adults will be coming back upstairs. So we're going to break into four groups, and that's the groups that we're going to break into. So I see Trevor's picture is here now. So Trevor, welcome. We're glad you're here today. We've been studying the life of Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and we've had a good time. So Trevor, you just take over now, please, and tell us what you can and show us something that we're not expecting. Thank you very much.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm greeting you from Morning Star Bible Camp, and I have two friends that I just found out about 5 minutes ago are related to me. One is Jessica, and one is Claire, and I can't tell them apart, but they're cousins of my sister-in-law, and they're going to help me this morning, and so either Claire or Jessica's going to hold the camera. Which are you? This is Claire. And we're going to do an illusion. Now, I have no magical powers. I'm not a sorcerer or anything. There's a logical explanation to everything that we're doing this morning. And we're just using it as an illustration to show the gospel. Now, I have before us a red bag. And Claire's going to unzip the bottom and show us that there's absolutely nothing inside by sticking her arm through. And she's going to examine it and tell us if there is or is not anything in it. You gotta yell louder, Claire.
There's nothing in it.
There's nothing in it. Now, I have these handkerchiefs. There's a black handkerchief, and the black handkerchief represents sin. And I'm going to put the black handkerchief inside the red bag. And I have another handkerchief, which is red. And the red represents the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to put that on top of the sin in the red bag. And you know what happens to sin when it's all covered in blood? Absolutely nothing. Nothing happens. You can go to church and nothing happens. You can go to vacation Bible school and nothing happens. But you know what makes a change? Dave was talking about it just a minute ago. He said that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. And he takes that black sin and washes it white as snow. But if you'd never believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what? The blood has been provided. Your sin is there. God is ready to forgive, but he can't forgive you because you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But when you believe, he changes the... Is there anything in there, Claire? You want to pull it inside out for them to see? You see, it's completely empty. He washes it all away. Well, how do I know whether I've believed or not? Well, David mentioned that. All who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, says Romans chapter 10. It also says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth the C of the ABCs of salvation, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved and your sins will not be there anymore. Thank you very much for your kind attention this morning. And thank you, Claire, and thank you, Jessica, for your help. And they're going to be helping me, Lord willing, all week. The Lord bless you, everyone.